Welcome to ReChurch. I'm Marshall Fant, the Director of Church Consulting and Strategic Planning for Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. My purpose is to encourage pastors and church leaders as you refocus, renew, and revitalize your churches. We've established this podcast to offer practical tips and suggestions as you equip disciples to make disciples. The first 100 days, what new pastors should prioritize, is the topic of today. Welcome to GFA Missions ReChurch. And we got Pastor Andrew Snavely of Grace Baptist Church in Highland Falls, New York, with us. Andrew, welcome.
And thanks for letting me join you.
Yeah, and as always, I want to thank the GFA staff for all the work they put into this and the editing, recording, posting. And Andrew is no stranger to our podcast world. You can go back and look at one he's done before, but that was with a different church in a same state but different location, right, Andrew?
Yes, sir. Very much all different location.
So update our audience on your current ministry. Where are you and how long you've been there?
Yes, sir. So I've been here at Grace Baptist Church in Highland Falls, New York, which is about an hour north of New York City. So we say it's upstate New York, but it's not upstate New York. New York's a big state. So yeah. We still have people live here, commute to the city every day. And I've been here about a year and a half now.
Yep.
I brought about 18 months. And prior to that, as you referenced, I had been at a different Grace Baptist Church down in Forest Hills, the neighborhood of Queens, New York City, for 10 years as an assistant pastor.
With Pastor Tim Richmond, our dear friend. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So so now, Andrew, I've known you a long time for our listeners. All right, so put in context, this is your first senior pastor. What is your age?
So I am 38.
38. Becky is your wife. How many? Four children, is that right, if I remember right?
Yeah, okay. So wife Becky, four children, three rascally boys, and a little princess at the end. And in a few months, they'll be 10, 8, 6 are the boys, and then she'll be 3 years old. So we're still that young, energetic, keep the parents active kind of age.
Perfect age to start the senior pastorate. All right, now, for the sake of our listeners, you're in a very unique, what I call a unique location, because explain where, all right, Highland Falls, New York, you explained where it is. But you have a huge neighbor, okay, that is part just at the end of Highland Falls. It starts at the gate of what school?
Yeah, so the United States Military Academy about West Point. So I often just describe it as the Army College here in this state. So you think of the Army-Navy football games, this would be the location here close by. So,
Right. So you got about 4,000 cadets, right?
Yes, sir.
Faculty, staff, and everything it takes to run a major, major university, right? So, I mean, you've got all of that.
Like both a college campus and a military installation at the same time. So,
pretty
influential neighbor.
Yep. All right. So, with that brings unique challenges, college ministry, turnovers, faculty turnovers, all that. But mainly what I want to focus on, I mean, that's a separate podcast, okay? But that's your Jerusalem. I just kind of want to put the context. Mm-hmm. And also, I think you're I think, uniquely gifted to handle that, because what is your background of growing up?
Yeah, so my family, my dad has been a pastor for, like, all my life, I suppose, until when he just stepped away from this role. But I had grown up elementary years in southern New Jersey, and then our family moved here in 2000 for my dad to be the senior pastor here at the same church.
Okay.
And so my 6 years of middle school, high school were here at the church as he began his ministry. And then after I had headed off to college and seminary and then landed in New York City, he continued pastoring here until he just retired in June of 2024. So almost 25 years, 24 and a half, but I like rounding up to 25.
25,
years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I mean, transparency, our youngest son was a graduate of West Point. So I stayed in the Snavely's home for during that time. And I think what I want to explain to our listeners, not only is it a college university town, but it's a military town. And there are a lot of, what I'm saying, the unique calendar and so what I'm saying, you are unique. You grew up in this environment, so you know with all the abbreviations, A Day, R Day, you know, Cal, you know what all these words they use mean. first E and on down the line. So, or plebe, or, you know, all these things. So, I'm so glad God has put you there, because I think, again, you're uniquely equipped. It saved the church many years of somebody having to adjust to that. So that's the background. Mm-hmm. Okay, but let's go back to our topic. All right, so you've been there 18 months, but the thing I question you on, would you be willing to tackle, was the first 100 days, what new pastors should prioritize, because we all want to, I think we all want to end well. We want to stay at a church a long time as possible, as long as God permits, but to end well, you really need to start well. And I think all of us know, you know, it's kind of like watching an infant learn to walk. You know, how many scabs, bruises, and are you going to get as you try to navigate this thing? So when I gave Andrew this challenge, he sent some excellent notes. Okay, so we're going to be going by his notes. And I also want to say this now. On our website, the GFA Missions, .org website, on the Rechurch podcast, when this is posted, there's some show notes. And I'm going to post the books and the listening and some other recommendation Andrew has there. So as we go through this, you can listen and go back to our show notes and find these resources. So he's got some great resources listed. But let's go through this first, Andrew. All right, the first 100 days, you broke it down first, major priorities. Okay, so I just want you to run with, this is the way it's worded. Listen first, lead wisely, and your comment is listen before leading. Okay, so run with that. Tell us what you mean, comments, run with it, please.
Sure. Well, and I'll add one more layer of context to the church location.
Yeah.
Because it is an established church. We just celebrated 75 years as a church last May. And also, you mentioned already that the military presence close by, a college town. And also because it's close proximity to New York City, you have a wide variety, even just, you know, recently people continuing to move north from the city. So you have influx of all these cultures together in one environment.
And it's an international culture too, right? I forgot to say that. It's an international culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I wanted to say that as well. Yeah,
rolling over that the demographics from the city the same way. And so because of that, I think this principle definitely is applying here, but I think it would apply anywhere. Just the idea of listening before leading. So listening. I've recognized the wisdom of that, and in order to be able to listen. So in my mind, I'm assuming this would be starting even in the candidating process, right?
Yeah.
Asking questions to get to know the church. That's kind of church candidating 101, is that process. But what I've found is once the pastor is even in the church, is still asking questions and asking the right questions. And there are several reasons for that. One, it can show a posture of humility and curiosity. Hey, I'm curious, can I learn more about this community? What is this experience like? It shows good intentions. I really want to learn. So that's positive. It also, if I'm asking the questions, I can help set the topic for the conversation. And that communicates what my priorities are. I'm not coming, a pastor wouldn't be coming and telling people, here's what we're going to do. But what he asks about shows what's important to him. Hey, when is the last time we had someone come to Christ and be baptized? Things like that.
All right, so that's a great. So let's take a couple of sample questions. All right, so when's the last time we had somebody come to Christ and be baptized? What would maybe be one more good question?
Yeah, I noticed this pattern, and again, this is brand new. So let's just say the pastor's learning the church the first 100 days. Yeah. So you know, I'm going over the business meeting notes from the past. What were some of the discussion points here? Why do we do what we do? Is a good helpful one. Can you tell me more about this? And not yes, no questions, but open-ended ones that really get people talking. So I ask, and then you pause and listen, and then listen some more. And the more people share, the more you get a good sense of the church, not just the paper statements, but the culture of the church.
All right, let me back up one more time. As you're asking, it's great questions. Okay, let me say great questions. So as you're asking these, how do you, I'm not saying guys do this in a fake way, but how do you ask those questions in a way that doesn't seem like you're attacking what they have been doing? For instance, when's the last time you had anyone saved and baptized? I mean, how do you ask that without accusing them of not having anyone saved or you know, whatever the question, those are good questions, but how do you ask it in a humble way? mm-hmm. seeking their input versus accusing what they're doing is wrong?
And that's a great question. I mean, tone is a big deal,
yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
And you know, you can ask a question assuming a negative answer, right?
Yeah.
Someone hasn't come to Christ recently, have they? Well, clearly that's expecting a negative response.
Sure.
So, and I honestly, I found this, the more I'm praying for our people privately, yeah. Lord, give us a heart of love. Give me wisdom how to connect. Those, they just come up in ways that I wasn't even expecting or planning on. So I really wouldn't discount, this is kind of assumed, but I wouldn't discount that just that necessary quality behind the time, behind the scenes, praying for wisdom, praying for love for God's people. And he'll answer those prayers in questions like these.
All right. So again, so well said. All right. So now I cut you off. So pick back up on what you said about open-ended questions, because that was important. So,
I mean, just not yes, no questions. I want to ask questions to start a conversation and really giving people a chance to share. And that just happens. And this kind of leads to the next idea. As I'm listening, then I'm building relationships. And that's just so key to the beginning points. It's building relationships, getting to know people. So it's activities. What may be helpful, what I found helpful was if I had to make a hospital call, bring some other men from the church along with me. You've got 20 minutes in the car there and back. And just developing those relationships while also learning about them.
Let me pick up on something you have in your notes. Okay. So, you're talking about most people have had a deep relationship with the church. Now your church is 75 years old, mm-hmm. but what I want to pick up on is that key point you're making here in your notes. Because most pastors in our circles do stay a long time. They really do. Okay. So, and what I mean by long time, 10 years, 20 years, your dad was there 25 years. So those deep relationships are there, and people, you know, what you're doing is trying to establish those relationships with you as the next under shepherd. So I didn't want to just breeze through that. I thought it's a key point that we're deep relationships. So that's what you're trying to establish because they've had them, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
A few other questions come to mind. Is asking questions of a person. So what has God been teaching you recently? I think that's a great question. That's open-ended.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that God is at work in your life.
Yeah.
And hopefully that leads into just learning about their Bible reading habits, their scripture intake patterns. So I found that's a really helpful. How has God been changing you? Again, that implies God is in the process. So it just sets expectations of sanctification, of growth, and then see where's the Lord been recently working to that idea. Maybe I'll add one point, and this came to me actually as I was listening to a conference that someone recommended to me, and it's in the resources. And the theme of that conference was up in Detroit, leading through change and conflict.
Right.
And it just made the observation that pastors, often a new pastor comes on the scene when the church is in a stage of grief of some kind.
Right.
And that was really helpful for me to think through. So I'm coming in listening, and you know that there is a role to just be a helpful listener as people process either the loss of a longtime pastor or friend.
Yeah.
Or let's say the former pastor left on bad terms. That's a lot to process with people. So many reasons why listening is definitely the best approach.
Yeah, and I would add another word to that. I think you put, you know, you have several good things in your notes here. It could have been a scandal, could have been a tragedy. Either way, they're grieving, but there also could be confusion. And this is by you asking the right questions may help them clarify in their own mind, okay, this is our step out of it. So they may be confused on really what happened. Do we have the whole story of why the pastor resigned? Now, you're following a good retirement or a retirement that ended well, okay?
Yes, sir.
But a lot of our guys do go in, and I'm glad you brought that up, because the questions you're asking could help bring clarity to the congregation. Even you might not know all that. It may require some digging on your part, or you may just want to say, that's done. It's going to require some wisdom. You know, and we're just going to move forward. But anyway, I think you're so wise to bring that up, because what you're really doing is, again, the topic's building relationships, right?
Yeah,
and you're helping them.
Relationships, definitely.
And so you're helping them process this and work through that. So that's well said.
Yep.
All right, keep going.
And I mean, just I'll add to that. So what's some of the best, so much good advice heading in. One great advice was another pastor, longtime pastor in the area, was there for essentially the installation service. And afterwards, he just came up. He said, "Brother, relationships are everything." And yeah. I've seen the wisdom of that. And he's like, play the long game, just develop those deep relationships. And I really appreciate that wisdom. And so that's helped kind of set the right trajectory, especially, and I mean, this is helpful for me in the city, urban church planting, there's a lot of turnover and you don't right. have deep relationships, but more like the smaller community, suburban churches, this is a big deal to really connect with right. people deeply and then help them process. So I just saw a lot of wisdom in that approach and in that emphasis.
Good, good. All right, now let me ask you this. You made a note that, you know, as you're going through this, you know, you really, again, we're talking about the first 100 days, but a lot of this, you're not going to know until you've been there a year or longer, right? So don't be frustrated as you gather this information, because you're almost putting together a jigsaw puzzle in some ways.
Yeah, and you have that initial set of, you know, the basic information in the candidating process, and maybe this speaks also to the importance of a thorough candidating process, both the church interviewing the pastor and the pastor interviewing the church to get a sense of those things for sure. So, no, that's all important.
All right, so let's go back. So, again, because you brought this up second time, and I want to pick up on it because it's so well said. So, man, if you are interviewing with a church, remember you have an obligation to interview the church and the responsibility to interview the church as much as they interview you. Now, the pulpit committee may not like that or may not see that, but, I mean, Andrew, you want to comment on that? I mean, because it is so important. And now you're there for the first 100 days, and if you hadn't done all your homework, you're going to find a lot of things that you may not want to find out.
Sure, sure. No, and that's very important, and I appreciated there was a clear church profile, and, you know, this is where the in-person visits are the most valuable, right?
Yeah.
Not just the paperwork, which is helpful, of course, but what's the church like? And then what's the church really like? And then that answer comes not from paper, but from people.
Right.
And just getting to know people and them getting to know you over time. And as you referenced, because I've been able to be here, be present a little more often, had some guest preaching opportunities even more recently. That was helpful for sure, having those relationships ahead of time.
All right, let me ask you this because you brought it out. The so in this first 100 days or even beyond that, this first year, if we can go that far. So you mentioned the point, certain people assume everything's going to stay the same. I mean, everything from the time of a service to the way you do Christmas Eve, the way you do, if you do a, you know, sunrise service, the way you do VBS, you fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And the other side of the equation is what? Other people are expecting change. So you got, right, one group saying, no, this is the way. We got the other group saying, no, wait a minute, we need to change this, right? Mm-hmm. So how in those first 100 to first year would you clarify what to the people, you know, or just how do you process it? I'll leave it there.
Yeah, I guess, well, first, I think that goes back to the original point about asking the right questions.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'll add a few there. You know, what do we love about this church? That communicates quite a bit. Mm-hmm. How would you love to see the ministry grow? And those are healthy, open-ended questions that give people a right. chance to share for sure. But I think there is wisdom, especially at the beginning, just learning. And this may come up later on, but the idea of just the first 100 days, we're just going to diagnose first, just learn, observe. And listen, observe, right? Yeah, and that's I've just seen this modeled well in some of my other ministry contexts. Being able to diagnose between what is something that is, you know, a problem or maybe something that could use some attention and something that's a true emergency. Mm-hmm. And being able to distinguish between those is really helpful. Some of my previous role was in a Christian school setting and seeing how the head of school would respond to things that in my mind, okay, this is really a big deal, but she's like, you know what? Let's just let this ride. The building's not on fire. Okay. Now the building's on fire. We're going to step in quickly. Okay. And just distinguishing those. Yeah. And that's, again, it's valuing people. That's getting a sense of what the situation is. And this is also, you have all the answers at up front about what the church is like. But then over the years, the layers of the onion come out, and there's more and more to learn about, and more ways to appreciate God's work, and more ways to recognize where God's grace will continue to work in the church in that environment.
All right, so let's keep it on priority. So let's go into the other aspect of your ministry. Let's talk about, you know, wisdom and preaching. Okay, so you got the first 100 days to the first year. So let's shift this into a major emphasis that every pastor has. So talk to us about your preaching, what you did, your themes, what you did not address, okay, as much as what you did address.
Yeah, I mean, this would match the same idea with questions. Preaching establishes priorities. Mm-hmm. And so what is the priority for the church, right? So Great Commission. Simple start, or I really benefited from Acts 2:42.
Yeah.
Devoting ourselves to these certain things, these four key aspects of the early church, and what did that look like? So they were a little more topical messages, but helpful for sure. So laying the groundwork. And then after that, I was really praying for wisdom, and I just found that Philippians would be a good starting point for an expositional series. It was very practical throughout the book, emphasis on church unity. Which, you know, any church going through a transition is just good to be reminded, what do we have in common in Christ?
Right.
And so much application, but also deep Christology in Philippians. So there are some passages that are that could be meaningful to people, helpful, a book about suffering and comfort, joy in our relationship with Christ. And I just appreciate that. And this is something that any pastor will find as they're preaching expositionally. There'll be moments where the pastor becomes aware of a situation that needs some counsel. And then he looks at his preaching calendar and he realizes, wait, that's what this Sunday will be addressing. And I'm just grateful to see God work, you know, through the preaching of his word. But I mean, obviously expository preaching is key, and establishing those clear priorities up front and what does God expect of his church. And then also just finding a text that is rich in application, rich in theology. And that was a great starting point for me.
All right. Looking back, would you do that again? If a person's listening to this, I mean, I love Philippians. I agree with everything you're saying. I'm not pushing back. I'm just saying, if someone's listening and they're about to take a church, would you say, hey, yeah, Philippians would be a great place to launch from?
I would agree. Yeah. I mean, one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark, would be a fantastic starting point.
Okay.
Yeah, nothing to add there, I think.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's fine. So you've also made some really good points here about, you know, using inclusive words about the church as you're speaking of the church. You want to park there for a minute and explain to us what you mean by that?
So I guess this is where I'm seeing the sermon, the preaching opportunity is first about preaching God's word and applying it on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
And also, that's a great opportunity. That is the moment when the church is gathered and we're all together in the same room. And especially if is a time of transition or uncertainty, people have questions about the future. This is where we need just a lot of building up and stabilizing in that first season in the pastorate. And so I just found the idea of talking about us as a church. What are we? Just building a fresh sense of identity, culture. And then even the application, often I'll just use application questions, but I'll try to make sure that some of those questions are for us as a church. How can we collectively think about this passage? How can we collectively live as lights in a dark world? I just found that helpful. And then because of that, really trying to see if I could lead our people then after the service, all right, over lunch, what are we going to talk about? And these questions, and just really trying to help them develop that praying together after a service, or processing and thinking out loud. That's what I found has been the most invigorating services or times in our church has been after we as a church have been asking questions together. What is God doing? How is God growing us? And then praying together, either in the service or after the service. And that really can help cultivate a sense of unity and mission and direction for the new season.
All right. So just pick up one thing. You used the word us several times in the last few sentences. Okay. I think that's key, right? Because you're trying to promote the unity. We're in this together. We, you know, the family. I mean, that's what I'm hearing you say, right? This is part of what you're trying to establish.
Sure. Yeah. And maybe and that probably pushes back against just often the Western society is very individualistic. Yeah. But hey, this is not just how can you change, but into identifying all the second person plural you, y'all, that is embedded in the Greek. And that just allows application to become very collective and community focused very quickly.
All right. So let me pick up. So again, on the preaching, I think you made a very, very important statement in your notes. You said it takes time to develop a clearer vision for the church in that context, the context of what we're talking about here, congregation. And so likely don't start with a series on vision necessarily, because a lot of guys go in, okay, this is where we're going. You know, they immediately want to start preaching vision, vision, vision.
Sure.
And I think I agree with what you said. Okay, so would you just, you know, just go a little bit deeper on that statement and why you say it that way?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So what I want to be preaching is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And God's word will have a vision statement for the church. Now, at the beginning, it'll be a very broad vision statement, right? Let's make disciples. Let's multiply ourselves. Right. Let's change to look like Jesus Christ. Let's shine in this community as a light. That's something that could be preached day one, and it should be, right? Let's love each other. Let's support each other. Let's follow God's pattern for church leadership. All these patterns, these broad principles could be in Christ, should be preached day one. At the same time, this is where you want to define carefully mission and vision. So the mission of the church is identical for every biblical church, right? Every Christian church.
Yeah.
But in my mind, mission plus context equals vision.
Okay.
I'll say that again if that's helpful. Mission plus context equals vision.
Good.
That mission has to apply to our context. And
okay.
No pastors, it'd be very rare for a pastor to have a really clear sense of the context, our community, our region, our you know, who we are as a church, how God has gifted us, where God is at work in our lives. Right. That'll take time to sort out what that context looks like. So then the unique vision aspects of it probably will come later on. And that's where I thought, you know, let's just focus on biblical mission right now.
Right.
And it'll become more clear later on.
Good. Okay. All right. So, that's great. Any other comments on preaching?
No, sir. No, just all good right. To preach. Preach, pray, love people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go on. So a next comment, major point is avoiding early mistakes. Okay. So let's talk through about your comments, move slowly, earn trust, protect the family. So let's go through these. Move slowly, earn trust, and you got a wife and four children that just relocated to a new house, a new church, a new environment. I mean, in your case, you had lived there. Becky had not lived there. You know, the whole aspect of you being get settled in. So let's just talk about this. Move slowly.
Yep. So moving slowly, some of this will be overlap from what we've mentioned.
Sure.
I'll just add a few ideas here. Great advice. Another piece of advice I got from a brother who's actually from South Africa planning a church in Queens. And he was just told, never count the first year. You set zero expectations for that first year. You just preach, pray, love people, and then see what God does. And that was helpful. And also I communicated this with our church, just saying, you know, a time of transition, which is what it is for any church. As much continuity as you want to maintain, there's a sense of transition, of change. That will be a time of high emotion, just naturally. That's how God made us. More excitement, more nerves, more curiosity, perhaps more fears, right? Mm-hmm. More ambition as a sinful response from a young pastor. So high emotion means it's a time of transition and extra patience with each other. And so I've been able to share this several times. This is going to be a time of lots of I'm sorry's and I forgive you's and I love you's. And that's just a normal, that should be normal vocabulary.
Repeat those three again.
So I'm sorry's and I forgive you's and I love you's. That's going to be normal.
Okay.
And I love being able to tell people, you know what, I've said I'm sorry and I forgive you and I love you to like all of our church leaders different times. Not because deep, you know, personal rifts and conflicts, but things that will just come up over as relationships right. are beginning to develop or redevelop over time. And then that'll just speak to me, to myself as well. Different personalities, right? Some guys are like the visionaries. Let's start everything from scratch. That's not the time. The first year is not the time to do
right.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, and disrupt. Others are they're like the guy who sees what he's found and wants to leave it better than he found it and improve what he's already found. But even and that's not the first year is not the time for that. And so, again, it's that building those relationships, earning that trust, and small predictable faithfulness that way.
Yeah, and you know, I really appreciate what you're saying because a church has almost like an annual rhythm, if I can use that word, right? I mean, you have the fall, everything kicking off, works into Thanksgiving, works into Christmas. In your case, Christmas break, cadets gone, faculty gone, and then you're launching
winter
in Highland Falls, snow, cold, change of family routine, and then you're working into, you know, Palm Sunday, you're working into Easter, you're working into graduation, which is a big deal in college towns. Then you're working into VBS and summer camps and yada, yada, yada. So in the first 100 days and the first year, you're just trying to get a grasp on that rhythm, right?
Yeah, the annual rhythm.
Yeah.
What has been the pattern? What are the mm-hmm. high weeks, the low weeks? Mm-hmm. What are the seasonal, you know, events and key highlights? And that applies not only to the church, but to the community. What does the community value? What in the community are the major points to be present for and to learn about? And so, I mean, all things we've talked about so far have applied to a church, but they would also apply to a community. We live here. I'm more than just a pastor. I'm also a neighbor. I'm a believer in God and God's providence living right here. So I want to get a sense of the community and see how I can live out my faith just as a presence here. So a lot of applications, but definitely it takes a year. It takes much time to really get a sense of the scene.
All right. So you had said this before, but I want to go through this. So as you're moving slowly, you made a note here on how to define an emergency. Okay. And we all smile because what is an emergency to someone may not be an emergency on the church on the big scale of things. Mm-hmm. So as you're trying to move slow, how do you lead and how do you show integrity to show interest in people's concerns? You're moving slow and they may want immediate change. And you're saying, okay, this not, I think you said your school administrator or headmaster, whatever, there's a time the building's on fire and the time the building's not on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So during your first 100 days to a year, you want to comment on anything like that, an illustration? And this is, I'm going off script, so this is, if you don't have one, that's fine.
No, it's all right. No, I just see the wisdom of, just recognizing what is a one-time thing.
Yeah.
That would probably be more like an emergency thing, right? Versus, okay, this is a pattern. And really, in my mind, I'm recognizing parallels with parenting. Okay, when is the child, when is this, okay, I need to intervene right now because what they're doing is, you know, a hazardous threat versus I've seen that pattern before, you know, and so different ways to approach that. Now, that's assuming it's something that needs to be addressed in the church, but that could also be, you know what, that was a great service. Praise the Lord for all the people, either an attendance thing or a decision for Christ. You know, we don't want to jump to too many conclusions based off one-off events. Where is that a pattern and how can I respond to that? You mentioned just how the pastor, though, can help with building that trust, building those relationships. I've mentioned, you know, listening quite a bit, building those relationships. One thing that's really been helpful for me and frankly one that God is growing me in is the idea of just that steady, consistent, predictable, keeping your word, doing things the same time every week so people know what to expect from the new pastor.
Good.
Here's what you can expect when you call or text me, and I'll try to keep that routine. Now, it doesn't, I'm not promising to answer everything within 2 minutes, but here's what you can expect, and now I'll make sure I can be consistent with that. So everybody knows that the more predictable that the new pastor is that I am in small ways, the more that builds the trust, that develops the relationships, and that really sets the stage for a good trajectory for the rest of the ministry.
So what would be some phrases you could say when like, you know, maybe you didn't communicate things the way you thought you should have, or maybe you thought they did and they didn't understand it, and there's a potential conflict. What are some things as a new pastor you could say to kind of diffuse that?
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely sympathizing where people are coming from. Oh, yeah. Did you get that impression? You know what? I'm so sorry that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this is just good advice for how we apologize. I'm not going to apologize for something I didn't do.
Right.
But if someone got the wrong, you know, I'm so sorry you thought that. I'm so sorry you felt that way. That's not what I intended. Right. That's helpful. And that's just going to happen. Any new dating relationship, any pastor church relationship, there will be those times of miscommunications and just seeing where people are coming from. And then as we learn each other, just those back and forth happens.
All right. So I want to shift into our last segment as we kind of work towards landing this plane here. All right. So we're talking about major priorities. We're talking about avoiding early mistakes. Let's talk about building goodwill and momentum. I mean, you serve first, lead humbly, aim for small wins. Now, I also want you to address, all right, now, I know from talking to you and talking to your dad, you've been there 18 months, and the church has grown significantly. So not only are you gaining trust and building relationships with people that are there for long term, you got new people coming in, new families. Mm-hmm. You know, you got several glass balls in the air, okay? And again, the first 100 days, the first year, and now you've been there 18 months. So, you know, how do you navigate different expectations? I mean, you got the older people, older in number of years attending Grace Baptist, new people coming in. You're trying to handle the momentum. You're in your first year. Your church hadn't been down this road together yet with this growth. Okay, so just take that and run with it a little bit, Andrew.
Yeah, I think that relates to some things you've already mentioned. One, any new season of life, any new season of a church life, the church will have a fresh identity, a fresh culture. And so emphasizing again and again, what is our common mission? What is our focus?
Okay.
And also reminding ourselves that we are all committed to following Christ and looking like Christ. And so you identify that really, most frankly, most important common ground, then that helps to clarify the other topics that are being discussed at that time. So I think that's really core. And that helps me in praying as well, and praying for people. I'm always praying for spiritual growth, right? Mm. And then always praying for conviction of sin for myself. We'll start there, and everyone else. But what's helped me too, just fun to ask, where is God already at work? And that matches some of the vision topic already. There are often things that God is doing behind the scenes that a new pastor doesn't know about. Good and bad, right? Good meaning bringing people to Christ, prompting them to grow. They're perhaps a new voice saying the same thing can click for some people.
Right.
And you appreciate that. Sometimes the Lord is at work and really bringing things to light, and hidden sin is always a challenge in any church. And so just recognizing what God is doing and wanting to follow him on that and really embrace his work of sanctification and building the church.
Yeah. Let me piggyback on that. So you said momentum, looking for what God is already doing. And we all have heard this phrase, low-hanging fruit, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So how do you, when you see low-hanging fruit, how did you in those first, you know, in that transition season, how did you handle that? What did you do with
it? Oh, that's something to celebrate. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
Okay. So how again, this first year, in the first 100 days of the first year, give me an example of how you celebrated something that you see, all right, well, look what God has just done.
Yeah. There's a couple ideas come to mind. Baptisms are huge.
Yeah.
It's someone either who's been in the church for a long time or they're recently saved. And it's special. It's really special, whether it's kids or adults or college kids. But I think one of my favorite parts of a service is someone's baptized and they come out and it's just like the church erupts in cheering. Because they're seeing God saving someone else and you're celebrating with them.
Hallelujah moments.
Yeah, hallelujah moments. Absolutely.
It's a good biblical word, hallelujah. We can use this.
Yes, sir. And applause, I think, is very appropriate as someone's after someone's baptized.
I agree.
It's still fitting.
I agree.
Another thing that's been really helpful for our church is in connection to baptism, but also someone's wanting to join the church. For our membership process, we ask everyone to share their salvation testimony publicly. And we call it Glimpses of Grace. And that's something that has been meaningful, right? And that highlights this core commitment to the gospel and seeing God change lives. But it's also been special to have everyone in the church be a part of that. And so we've had longtime members share their salvation testimony. And my wife and I, we shared ours, right? We're a part of the church. You don't know us very well. Let's share. And so we found that often that's some of our favorite parts of the service, even more exciting than the sermon, is just salvation testimonies, glimpses of grace. Everyone gets to know everyone all over again. And that, again, that helps lead toward that fresh sense of identity and mission on what's most important.
All right. So just a couple more points. So as you are seeing this celebration, what God's doing, as you are, you know, I love the word. I think it describes what you did, tactical patience. You know, I love that phrase. It's not original with me. But as you're demonstrating this in the first 100 days to the first year, you know, we still have to talk about change, because whether it's real, whether it's perceived, whether it's slight, I think you've already said, just by some of the inferences you've made, that you don't want dramatic change the first year because you're just figuring out, you're just learning humbly, you know. And so if you're learning, you're not really going to make many changes. But let's talk about change. So how do you adjust course in that first season, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and that's important because for many people, the word change is a dangerous word.
Yes.
Change leads to compromise, mm-hmm. right? Change leads to, it also implies we did it wrong before.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, frankly, I'm not a big fan of the word change.
Okay.
You know, that's where I say growth. How is God growing our church?
Okay,
and there you go. And some one of our church leaders, our first year, as we're seeing this and just trying to grapple with, like, what's happening? What is God doing here? You just made a really helpful comment. You know, the growth of the church sometimes demands change or stimulates that.
Right.
And for us, something as simple as, okay, we need to expand our leadership. We need to hire a second staff person. Mm-hmm. That's a healthy thing, right? And so when we talk about the church growing, that could be a better way to phrase it or frame it. And in my mind, it is. It's improving. It's saying the church has been in the right direction all along. So we're not saying we're not pulling a U-turn with an ocean liner. We're adjusting degrees. Maybe we're polishing the brass a little bit. Let's improve. Right. Let's grow. Let's continue what God is already doing, but do it even more. And I think everybody would want to be on board with an idea like that. And that helps lead the nature of the change too. So that's helpful later to phrase it. Yeah.
So you mentioned growth and improvement. You got three things. I love your three things that you said you must consider. Would you go over those?
Yeah. So this is something that God's helped me with, just giving wisdom, a lot of reading and trying to identify, I'm calling it like a change matrix, if you will.
Yeah.
To make sense of how can I prioritize what God is doing, what I think needs the most attention. So three factors. The first factor is urgency. Second one is impact. And the third is cost.
Okay.
So the first factor, urgency. How serious is this situation right now? What's the status quo look like?
Right.
This leads to the question, is the building on fire? Right.
Right.
Yeah. Are there some things, you know what? There's asbestos or lead paint. Okay. Mm. This is pretty important.
Right.
We need to give immediate attention to this. If there is a scenario where you have some of the leadership in the church, you know, there's a serious moral failure. Okay.
Right.
Clearly, building's on fire, right?
Yeah. Yep.
If this is a pattern where, you know what, I think it looks like this aspect of the kids' ministry may be a little outdated. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pick and choose how we can polish and improve that. So
well said.
Urgency is the first one. How serious is it right now? And so I kind of have that as my horizontal matrix, horizontal axis. Mm-hmm. The second one is impact, meaning if we can improve the ministry in this way, you could use the word change if you want, right? What difference will it make?
Yeah.
Truly, what difference will it make to the ministry? high impact, low impact. And that helps me sort through. There are some things that, on the one hand, oh, this is something that's really glaring. But then the more I thought about it, like, you know what? I don't think that has significant impact in the lives of our people.
Right.
So it just helped me sort through that. So there's urgency, impact. And then based on that, then I'd evaluated all those different ideas. What's the cost involved? Cost meaning the resource of time, emotional energy for different elements or ideas that we have. And so those have been helpful factors, urgency, impact, and cost as we're sorting through.
Yeah, and I appreciate you, emotional energy, because every one of these things, if you start making, I'll use the word change, it's going to require emotional energy to work through this. And how much is in the tank, right? What else is the church going through?
Sure.
So yeah. I think, again, the three of those are urgency, impact, and cost. So that's well
maybe
said.
I'll give one example of that if I can.
Yeah, sure.
So the church organ had been here in the corner of the sanctuary for quite a while, and it had not been used for quite a while. Decades, if I'm not mistaken, or at least 15 years.
Okay.
And so it, essentially it was just sitting there, and they had even disconnected the pipes and the speakers.
Yeah.
The wiring was not working. Yeah.
Right.
But you know, that was played by one of the founding members of the church and some longtime members. We have a deep attachment to that. And I didn't know, frankly. So I noticed it, you know, okay, well, I mean, that could open up some seating that we can make use of that space in a different way. But is that something that'll really be sensitive for people? Well, it came up as we were raising a question about seating in the auditorium, what about that space? Well, what do we think? You know what? I didn't know the cost, how much would it cost people to think about. Yeah. So I said, you know, let's make some phone calls. And it turns out that everyone that I reached out to, both the family of this longtime member who used to play it, who moved away, and longtime members in the church, no one had a strong opinion about it. And a few weeks later, we were able to find someone who was in the business of rehabilitating unused organs. I mean, organs meaning like the instrument, right? Not the human organ.
I got it.
Our church is an organ harvesting organization.
Yeah.
Anyway, just in God's timing, when I wasn't sure what that would look like, it was actually low hanging fruit, and it opened up some space, and it allowed more seating, and it just gave like a fresh sense to the church. So that could be one example.
Great example. All right, let's wrap this thing up. So when you go through this, this phrase, I've heard it before, and again, so please don't take this phrase out of context, those that are listening, but you use this phrase, get as many fingerprints on the gun as possible, all right? So, and again, we're not talking about shooting somebody. We're not talking about, so please take this in context, all right? So explain what you mean by that.
Well, just the idea, again, this isn't that last talking point about growing the church, about change.
Right.
If it's a significant thing, then you want it to be something that, and I'm believing in congregational polity as well, right? It's a balance.
Right.
The pastor leads, he leads the church as the church decides there.
Right.
And there's a balance there that it's one of those mysteries that the Lord works in, you know, different personality types and circumstances.
Sure.
But just the more significant the change, the more people involved.
There you go.
And this comes from a book, well, it's just a common idea, right? You get sense from other people. If it's their idea, let them own it, run with it as much as they can. Someone else donated our organ for us. So getting input from other people. And that also can help going back to that original idea of asking questions. If we ask and raise the right questions, perhaps someone else will have a good answer. And now it's their answer. And great. Hey, let's move forward on that. If that's going to help the church for sure. But I'll just underscore again, there is some of this is science and some of it is an art, right? There are elements to every situation that are different.
Yeah.
And so paper, great. But most importantly, it's just really seeking God's space for wisdom, a balance between, you know, I'm 38, but I often present younger than older to people. So what's the balance between being listening and leading, right?
Yeah.
Between being gracious and then being courageous. And over time, those relationships develop. I am, as a pastor, am able to have God's wisdom to identify what really is the highest priority, begging him to work and then watching him do it and then growing along the way. Frankly, I think the past 18 months, usually the pastor would say he's grown the most out of anybody else.
Yeah. All right. And let me say this in closing, because Andrew had this throughout his notes. Prayer is key. Praying together brings the unity. We didn't spend much time on talking through that. But praying through this as a group, praying through this leadership, as you as a pastor pray. So I think you've got to pray, you got to listen, you got to walk humbly and all that. That has been so well said. Some of these, so in the show notes, what you're going to find are some books that Andrew's recommending, as well as some podcasts, as well as some, one of the things he talks about, just calling everyone he knew. He had a personal relationship as a senior pastor to get their input. So again, Andrew, any final words here as we wrap it up?
It's just fascinating to see how God grows his church. And if that is your prayer at the beginning, dear God, grow this church, grow me, then he and his wisdom will answer in ways that no one could expect, but that give him maximum glory. And so I love praying those open-ended prayers full of faith and then just be stunned to see how God does it. And he lets, weak, foolish, sinful humans like us be part of the process. It's an honor.
Amen. That's so well said. All right. Well, thank you. Again, Andrew Snavely, Grace Baptist Church, Highland Falls, New York. Talking about the first 100 days. Really, we covered about the first year. He's been there 18 months now. And if you'd like to get in touch with him, you can look at his website. You also can contact me, mfant@gfamissions.org. Love to have your input on this podcast, other podcasts that you'd like to hear. Topics covered, love to do that. And again, we thank the Snavely so much. Andrew, thanks for your time. Appreciate you setting aside this time. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're listening to ReChurch, a podcast of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. If you would like more information about our ministry or how we may assist you and your church, visit us at gfamissions.org/consulting.